Can you talk a little bit about what that is and sort of how it's administered?
Well, the ATRA is a drug that, you know, is a retinoic acid derivative that we have been using for years and years in APL. It induces differentiation of these cells. And it was found actually also through Chinese type of experience that arsenic trioxide, you know, arsenic is poison actually, may have quite significant activity in APL as well. A lot of this work has been pioneered actually by these Chinese investigators that basically through observation had found that a lot of these compounds may have either differentiation or anti-leukemia activity.
Anything new in terms of our understanding of how they work?
No, actually. Well, for the ATRA, we know a little bit how it interferes with PML, etc. I am not sure that we truly understand how arsenic works. I mean, there's a lot of data, but I don't think that we have a unified working model right now for that approach. But it does. And actually, that's sometimes the ironic thing is that you build these scientific programs with a hypothesis, and then you come with something that is just completely observational and it works. Now, we were kind of brave here a number of years ago with Dr. Este doing phase one studies with arsenic and ATRA and then moving very fast actually into frontline study. And we were actually a bit criticized by the other groups, mainly from Europe, saying, how can you like put together these programs and now this is becoming the standard of care? Interestingly, in countries like India and Iran, these drugs are cheaper than using chemotherapies like idarubicin. So they also have very nice data with these compounds coming actually out of places like Iran. So the reality is that the programs are very smooth. I think that overall we see a little bit of the retinoic acid syndrome that we used to see with the AIDA type of program, you know, idarubicin plus ATRA. Molecular responses are very robust. And I think that the curves right now for these programs are 90% or so disease-free survival with the median follow-up that we have. That is very satisfactory because, again, you're using non-chemo approaches for this. Now, the higher risk group of patients is still a problem. Dr. Talman, who is one of the leaders in this disease from Chicago, was here the other day. And a question that I actually never thought of came out and is, you know, how many of these higher risk APL patients don't make into a study because actually they are, and I hate to talk like that, they are dead on arrival. You know, this happens even to us. The patient is diagnosed somewhere in the valley and then boom, by the time they come here, they're bleeding in their brains. And of course, those people do not qualify for a study. You know, you cannot give ATRA intravenously, although we actually had a liposomal version of this a number of years ago that looked quite promising, but it was never fully developed. Now, we have some strategies for those patients. And one strategy that is looking very good is actually the addition of Mylotarg to this arsenic ATRA program. So our approach right now is that if we see a patient with APL, high risk, with a higher Y count, those patients automatically are treated with Mylotarg up front, like the Balkan type of approach. And our numbers are actually very dramatic. Now, I can give you another example of one of my patients. And actually, it's very interesting that at least in our patient population, the characteristics are all kind of similar. They tend to be patients of Hispanic origin. Actually, both patients I mentioned, they are both the same. So for us, they all come from the Valley region here in Texas. They tend to be females, younger. Some of them, although these two patients are very different, tend to be a little bit overweight. So it may be actually that these characteristics may be important. If you go to California, for instance, in LA, that is one of the biggest APL groups in this country. It's also because of this referral pattern of patients of Mexican or Central America, South American origin, I guess, migrating to those areas.
So there's a higher incidence of APL in Hispanic people?
Yeah.
Interesting. Any other geographic racial connections?
Yeah, the Mediterranean belt also is prominent. So if you look at the studies, most of the data is coming from Italy and the Spanish group. And now actually, you know, I'm from Spain, so I'm proud of this. But the Spanish group, the PECEMA group, has also very strong, beautiful data with different strategies in APL. But in the U.S., at least in South U.S., most of those patients are those characteristics. They tend to be Hispanic. There's a higher frequency of females, and overweight is an important issue. Now you say, well, who cares about this? You know, turns out that some of these metabolic pathways, like involving diabetes, etc., they actually may have a role in leukemia, and people are looking at some of these issue. So if they call me with a new acute leukemia from the valley, younger lady, a little bit, that would be my question. Is he kind of like overweight? Yes, you tend to move fast on that type of referral.